Well, yesterday it rained all day and stormed all day as if it was getting ready for my message today, because I'm going to talk to you about storms. How many of you have ever been saved more than a week and realized being saved doesn't keep you from storms? All right. How many of you have realized it might create some just coming to the Lord? Amen. Storms. Now, this is not a bad confession. It's just telling the truth. Storms are a part of life. Storms happen. Storms come. The important thing is how you navigate through it, how you respond to it, how you react to it. Because how you respond to it is going to decide how you emerge from it. Is the storm going to take you down or take you through? Are you going to learn from it or learn nothing? How are we going to respond to that storm? Respond in faith, respond in doubt. Respond with courage, respond with cowardice. Respond with perplexity, or respond at least with an understanding of the Word of God. What is God doing when we're in a storm? What is the Lord thinking when we're in a storm? How does He respond to us in a storm? Well, I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 about a real storm. And today I'm going to start a little series called When Storms Strike. Some of you are in a storm. A financial storm, a marital storm, a relational storm. You're in a job storm. Some of you are in a storm of temptation, storm of perplexity. You don't know what to do, where to turn, where to go. You're in a storm. The wind is blowing. The rain is falling. The floods are beating on your house. And you're in a storm. Matter of fact, some of you, it was all you could do to get to church today because of the storm. If God hadn't told you to come, you'd still be in bed. But you're here. And you're here for a reason. So let's read. Today I want to just talk about, there's a message in your storm. There is a message in your storm. Now when he got into a boat, that is Jesus, capital H, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. So the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. He talked to them. He talked to the wind. And he talked to the sea. And he said, stop it. Stop it. And they stopped. Yes, sir. And there was a great calm. Oh, I love that. Don't you love a great calm in your spirit? Don't you love when there's a great calm in your soul? So the men marveled and they asked the million-dollar question, the question for which I believe God allowed them into this storm. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who are we following? This isn't normal. It's not normal because he's not normal. So they asked the million-dollar question. We all need to ask this question. Who is it we're following? Some great teacher from the past, like a bunch of others. A good man who did good things and sort of a VIP of history. A good guy that walked around in sandals, long hair, looked like Hollywood. Just a really nice guy. No, because when you go through something like this where he speaks to your storm and says, stop it, and he delivers you and sets you free, and does what no man can do. Amen. Then you walk away saying, who can this be? There's only one answer to the question, God. He's God. He's God. Father, we just thank you today that you're the Lord of the storm. You're the Lord of the storm. You've got our storm by the neck. We thank you, Lord, that you are the victor over the storm. Thank you that you carry us through the storm. Now, Lord, for the storm tossed here today, for those that are struggling through a storm and wondering if they're ever going to get to the other side, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen them, encourage them, exhort them, comfort them, build their faith, and Lord, help us to leave this place knowing you're the Lord of the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, perk up and listen. There's a message for you in the storm. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, I'm going to date myself here. You can be seated. Thank you. I'm going to date myself here. But some of you may remember the old emergency broadcast system that would suddenly interrupt your TV show. How many of you remember that? The emergency broadcast. Okay, good. I feel better. I'm not alone. And a picture would appear on the screen, and an announcer would say this, and you'll remember this. This is a test. This is only a test. And then it would say, important information will follow. Then you would go through this maddening 30-second high-frequency noise, right? And then it would end with an important announcement. This has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. But here's the thing. I want you to remember those words. This is a test. This is only a test. Important information will follow. Now, Jesus could easily have looked at his disciples when they were launching into the sea. Now, Jesus, being God, was not surprised by the storm. He knew that it was coming. They didn't know. They had no idea what was coming. But he did. And he's the one that got him in the boat. He's the one that said, let's go over the other side. Have you ever noticed, if you follow Jesus in discipleship, he's always taking you to the other side of somewhere. You never stop. It never grows stagnant, never grows static. No, he takes you to the other side of somewhere, from faith to faith, glory to glory. He's always carrying us onward, forward, upward, down the road. It never stops. It never gets boring. If it's discipleship, you're in. Following him every day. Every day, Lord, my life is yours. Lead me. So he gets them into this boat and he says, let's go to the other side. They get about halfway through and something happened that changed everything. Now, at first, I believe they were excited. This is Matthew 8. So this is right after the Sermon on the Mount. I'll talk about that in a moment. But it's early on in their following of Jesus. And so far, it's been one thrill, one adventure after another. He's healing the sick, opening blind eyes, deaf ears, feeding multitudes with just a few loaves of bread. Everything he touches is a miracle. And I think they're thinking, he's taking us to the other side. What miracles are we going to see? What new adventure are we about to encounter? They were excited. And about halfway across, have you ever noticed things get hard at the halfway point? Halfway through that degree, halfway through the marriage, halfway through that new job, halfway through different things you want to achieve. It's that halfway mark where we want to faint. And here, they're about halfway across the sea, and suddenly everything changes. It takes a drastic turn. A storm comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, they're in something that is life-threatening. The Bible calls it a tempest. Suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea. Suddenly. It happens suddenly. Blue skies, sunshine, easy sailing, and then suddenly, the skies are dark, the wind is howling, the waves are rolling, their boat is literally filling up with water. That's what it says. So the boat was covered with the waves. They felt like they were about to sink. They felt like they were going down for the last time. Ever feel that way? Like, I'm going down for the last time. Lord, help me. I can't come up again. Lord, help me. I can't keep myself going. I feel like I'm going down the last time. They felt like if he doesn't do something, if something doesn't happen quick, we are going to drown out here. This is serious. This is no fun. So much for the new adventure. The waves are about to take us down. The Greek word for tempest is a strong word. It means a shattering, shocking, shaking event. Tempest. It's a mixture of winds is what it actually means. Like a powerful whirlwind or a hurricane-like wind. This was a tempest, a windstorm. Luke calls it a windstorm. Matthew, a tempest. Luke, a windstorm. And this wind came from nowhere and is kicking up huge waves. And the waves are rolling into their boat and they can't shovel it out quick enough. So they begin to fear for their lives. And I'm sure they were thinking, well, he's the one that got us here. Thanks a lot. So this storm was particularly frightening for the disciples. And now I want us to remember now, this context matters, because one chapter earlier, Jesus had taught the Sermon on the Mount. And on the Sermon on the Mount, he ended it talking about a storm. Matter of fact, he ended it talking about two houses and a storm, the same storm, striking both houses. One house collapses and one house survives the storm. They had heard this one chapter before. They had just come out fresh from hearing the greatest sermon ever preached. Sermon on the Mount is the best thing ever preached. It's the greatest sermon ever preached. Amen. And they've just come out of it, and Jesus wraps up his sermon by talking about these two houses. The houses represent your life and mine. And what we have built our house on and with. Is our house built on the rock, who is Jesus Christ and his teachings? Or is our house built on shifting sand, the worldly philosophies that float around everywhere on media that we are bombarded with every day, the world view of the world and how to do your life according to the world? And the Bible calls that shifting sand. The two houses look the same, and you know what? They both look great. They both look great prior to the storm. They're both impressive, beautiful, beautiful homes. And then a storm. And with the storm, a great test. We're about to find out what they're built on and built with. Have you built your life? Because the house represents your life. The storm represents the trials of life. All kinds of trials. Whatever shakes you, a tempest, a strong wind, whatever tries and tests the integrity of the house, whatever tests it, tries it, Jesus is letting us know every house is going to be tested. Every life is going to be tested. Every life is going to experience a storm. And when that storm comes, it's going to tell real quick what you built your life on. Have you built it on the teachings of Jesus or on worldly stinking thinking? Are you following Jesus? Are you doing life the way Jesus taught? Or are you building it on the shifting sands of the world? And the storm tests it. And the rain strikes the roof. And the floods test the foundation. And winds push against the structure. The entire thing is tested in every way that it can be. The roof, the walls, the foundation. It's all tested. And they've just heard this. And now one chapter later, they're in a real storm. And by their reaction, we learn some things. I learn some things. Here's what we learn first, that storms will test and reveal our weaknesses. Storms are going to reveal your weaknesses and my weaknesses. Now, I personally believe that God is sovereign and he's even in charge of our storms. So he lets them reveal our weaknesses, because you can't fix something unless you see that it needs fixing. Amen? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, fix it. So here comes the storm and it tests the integrity of their faith. Like, what have they learned so far? They just heard the greatest sermon in the world. They've already seen him do miracle after miracle after miracle. They've seen him do things that only God could do. So they know this is somebody special, but there's something lacking in their understanding of who Jesus is that's about to be fixed. They're impressed. Don't forget, they left home and hearth. They left their family, they left their house, they left their career, they left all of the tools of their trade. They walked away and said goodbye and followed the one who said, "Follow me." They left everything to follow him. So they're following him everywhere that he goes. So what have they learned so far? What have they grasped so far? Well, the storm revealed it. Their faith took a nosedive, and their trust in Jesus evaporated. Yeah, just poof. They cried out, "Don't you care?" Look at what they're wondering about. They're even asking, "Do you care? Don't you care? Don't you care?" There's a weakness. There is something that needs to be fixed in their faith. How many of you know he cares? Come on, he cares. But in a moment of storm, we think things and we say things that we wouldn't normally think or say. And so they say, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" You know, I was thinking, when you go to a doctor and you say, "Hey, I wonder how my heart's doing," he can take your pulse, but he says, "If I want to really know what your heart's doing, I'm going to give you a stress test." "Well, I don't need a stress test. I'm great. I feel great." "Let me give you a stress test." Put you on there and you run until you almost drop. Then he gets a real reading on your heart. Let me tell you something. We don't get a real reading on our faith until there's a stress test. Yeah, we need a stress test. We don't get a real reading on where we are in our beliefs about him, our security in him, our trust in him. We don't get a real reading on it until we're in a stress test. And the storms come, and the waves, and the floods hit the house, and the winds blow, and the rain falls. If there's a leak in the roof, you're going to find out. Amen? If there's a weakness in the structure, you're going to find out. But that's good. That's good. Now, I got to say this. I tried to avoid this, but you can't. I think this matters. Watch this. Jesus was silent in their storm. Now walk with me for a minute through this, because sometimes we encounter silence from God. Sometimes in the middle of a storm, we wonder where he is. Here they are in the middle of a storm, and what is Jesus doing? He's asleep. He's asleep. He's the only one in the boat that's not freaking out. He's asleep. In the storms of our own life, when the storm is raging, sometimes the Lord is silent. Sometimes he's just not talking. Now, it's not that he doesn't care, because I'm going to tell you emphatically, he totally cares. But why is he sometimes silent? You say, "Well, I've never experienced that, Pastor Jeff." Well, I have. It seems sometimes like he's silent in the storm, like he's a million miles away, like the heavens are brass. Where is God? David the psalmist talked about it. He experienced this very thing. He said, "Oh, Lord, you know all about this." What's this? Whatever you're going through. You know all about this. You know all about the relationship. You know all about the money. You know all about the temptation. You know all about what I'm struggling with. You are totally aware. David says, "I know you know. I know you know." But don't stay silent. In other words, heretofore, up to now, in this trial, you've been silent. Please don't stay that way. Don't abandon me now, O Lord, in the middle of this storm. Did he say it or did he say it? David said it. And there's a lot of psalms about the silence of God. Here's another interesting thing. Book of Job. You read the book of Job. 42 chapters long, first 38 chapters. All Job is going through, God is totally silent. He doesn't say one word to him. Sometimes you want to reach into the pages and say, "God, please speak to him." Instead, he's got these three horrible friends telling him all the wrong things. But for 38 of 42 chapters, God is silent. Why was God silent? I think most everybody that walks with God for a season is going to come up against a time where, yeah, you know that he's there. You know that he knows. You know all that. But it seems like he's just not talking much. It's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. Why silent, Lord? Maybe it's on a long, dry stretch in your faith. Or maybe it's in a great trial like Job's, but it seems like God is silent. Now, the disciples were in the middle of a life-threatening storm, and Jesus was silent. He's asleep. Now, let me tell you why I believe that God is sometimes silent. He wants to see how well we've learned what He's taught us. How well have you learned? This is, again, going to date me, but do you remember how in school when there was going to be a big test, the teacher would announce, all right, this week there's going to be a great big test, so you need to prepare for it. And all night long, if you were a good student, you're preparing for it, and you're nervous about it because you know the test is coming. And when she hands out the test, she sits behind the desk and is totally silent. Before the test, she's talking all the time. Teaching you, instructing you, being there for you, interacting with you. But when the test comes, she hands it out, says, no cheating, and she's silent. Why is she silent? Because she wants to find out how well you've learned what she's taught. And we quickly find out how well we've learned what the master teacher has taught us when we're in a storm and he's silent. Have you learned to pray? Have you learned to seek Him? Have you learned to forgive? Have you learned to walk with Him? Have you learned to trust Him with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding? Have you learned to press into God? Have you learned to go to the Word every single morning and feed yourself? Have you learned to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh? Have you learned to forgive people as God has forgiven you? Have you learned? How well have you learned? Because the test will reveal it. Because God says, now put into action what I have taught you. I want to see how well you've learned in the classroom of life and the classroom of the master teacher, Jesus Christ. I want to see how well you've learned. Now remember, just one chapter before, they heard this great teaching on how to handle a storm. Now in the middle of the storm, it's all going out the back door. How many of you ladies learned Lamaze before you had a baby? And when came time for you to have the baby, Lamaze went right out the back door. Oh, I know. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. When Kathy, my late wife, was having children, I remember saying, now, come on, breathe, breathe. I was greeted with words I can't say here. And I was told, get me some ice and leave me alone and shut up. And I learned real quick, so much for Lamaze. You get into a storm and you're so inclined to forget what Jesus has taught you. Do you know how to rebuke the devil? Can you take a stand in spiritual warfare? Do you know how to put on the armor? Do you know how to persevere in prayer? Do you know how to keep going and not faint? Do you know how to draw from the power of God? Do you know how to seek Him and press into Him and let Him sustain you and strengthen you and carry you and be your life? Do you remember how to do that? Do you know how to do that? Let's see what you know. So God's silence is often a test to see how we will walk in what He's already taught us. Then the next thing I see here is there's a message in the storm. We're following a master teacher. He's always teaching. Now I want you to catch that. I don't care what you're going through. The master teacher is always teaching. He is always going to teach you. I notice here, now remember what I told you about the emergency broadcast system? Because it says, this is a test, this is only a test, important information will follow. Anytime you and I go through a storm, important information always follows. Important information always follows. He's talking if you're listening. And anytime we go through a storm, a test, something that takes us to the mat, something that is just spiritual warfare squared to the 100th power, when we have really been battling for our life, when it's over with, when we come out on the other side, He's always there with important information. It says, He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. Test time was over. Now it's show and tell. And Jesus stands up. I think He yawned, looked around, like, guys. And He looks right at this howling, shrieking windstorm. Stop it. Have you ever been in a storm in your soul? You need to get on your knees in prayer. And as soon as you begin to pray to Him, He speaks to that storm, and suddenly in the middle of a storm all around you, there's no more storm within you because He speaks great calm. Amen. Great calm. And so what does He do? I want you to notice what He did, because here comes the important information, part of it. He immediately deals with the weakness that was revealed. He said, "Why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith." Mark's gospel adds, "How is it you have no faith?" What's He doing? He's not just giving them a hard time. He's saying in the storm, there was a roof leak. And I'm going to tell you what it was. What happened to your faith? Where was your faith? It was weak. Now, here's the good news. When a storm, when we're walking with God and a storm comes into our life and a leaky roof is in your faith, then the Lord does not give up on the house. The Lord does not give up on the house. You say, "Pastor Jeff, I went through a storm and I got an F. I went through a storm and I got at best a D minus. I did not pass the test. I did not pass. I did not do what God had shown me and what I had been taught. I didn't lay hold of it. I didn't walk in it." The good news is this. The devil will tell you, "Well, he's going to ditch you because you didn't do well." No, he never ditches you. He never walks out on you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. No, he says, "Let's fix the leak. Let's fix the leak." He says, "Don't you know that I've got everything under control? Can we fix the leak? Don't you realize I'm watching over you? And even more than that, guys, don't you yet understand who it is you're following? I'm the Lord of the storm." Because don't you know, in the middle of that storm, they were thinking, "We're never going to make it to the other side." And some of you are thinking today, "I'm never going to make it to the other side of where He wants me to go. I've made too many mistakes. I have failed too often. I have not passed the test too many times, so I'm not going to make it to the other side." I got news for you. You were never going to make it to the other side apart from the one who's in the boat. They failed the test miserably, but Jesus was in the boat. And if you're saved, He's in the boat. And if He's in your boat, that boat will float. He's in the boat. And the one who's in the boat is going to get you to the other side of somewhere, wherever it happens to be. You're not going to get there by your own strength. You're not going to get there by your own brilliance. You're not going to get there by your own high IQ. You're not going to get there by your own talent. You're going to get to the other side of where He wants you to go, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. The Bible says the disciples looked at each other after He calmed the sea and the wind. And I believe they asked the question that the storm was all about. Who can this be? Who are we following? Who have we hooked up with? Who do we leave everything for? I mean, it's one thing to open up deaf ears, but He just now told nature what to do. And nature said, "Yes, sir." Who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey Him. The only answer is, it's God wrapped in a human body. He's God wrapped in a human body. And that God never panics. God never freaks out. God never says, "Well, I'll be." God is never surprised. You never inform Him of anything He did not already know. He knew the storm was coming before they ever got in the boat. And He knew He was going to get them to the other side before they ever got there. The whole thing was a teaching lesson in the master's class so that they would realize and have a whole new revelation of who they were following, who He really was. Amen. One last thing in this little story I see. Catch this. It's so important. Your storm prepares you for the next level. The storm you're in right now, whatever storm it is, long-term storm, short-term storm, came all of a sudden, came gradually, whatever the storm is, relational, financial, temptation, with the devil, whatever it is, whatever that storm is, listen, whatever that storm is, it's preparing you for your next level. God is there to teach you and prep you for the next level. He said, well, how do you know that? Because they landed on shore of the land of the Gadarenes. Now, please, use your sanctified imagination. Here they are coming off the sea. They didn't think they were going to make it. They've made it. Now they're stepping onto dry land. Whew, dry land. But no sooner do they say, whew, dry land, than running towards them is the personification of hell. They have a confrontation with the face of hell. And the most demon-possessed man in the entire Bible comes running towards them, no clothes, crazy hair, wild eyes, chains can't hold him. He snaps them like butter. He's got supernatural demonic strength. He cries out all night long. He lives among the tombstones. He is a nightmare on 2 feet. And he runs towards this motley crew of 12 who have just seen Jesus calm the storm. And I want you to notice their composure. They don't run. They don't cry out, Lord, don't you care that we perish? He's going to kill us. No, there's none of that. There's no crying out. There's no unbelief. No, because now they know who they're walking with. And he can handle any crisis. Now they know. They know who they're walking with. And so they're not at all afraid of this guy. And so they see him fall in front of Jesus. What is your name? We are legion, for we are many, meaning 1,000 devils. We're tormenting his soul. And the Son of the living God, God wrapped in a human body, come out of him. And this wild man that all the mothers in town warn their children about is suddenly delivered. And when they come, they see him clothed in his right mind, saying, Jesus, can I follow you wherever you go? I submit to you, if they had not had the storm at sea, they would have freaked out seeing this man. But they knew he's got it. And that's the way they went up a level. And that's the way they handled this new challenge. And they watched him get set free just like they knew that he would, because they were with Jesus. Every storm you're going through is going to prepare you for the next level. Peter denied the Lord. I don't know him, don't know him. And then with the third denial, cursing. He cowered with fear of man. He was afraid for his life. But that storm where he failed, we find him in the book of Acts. He's been arrested. He's thrown in jail. He's got guards on both sides. He's chained. And they have told him, tomorrow, your head's going to be taken off of you. And what's he doing? He's asleep. He's so asleep, the angel has to pull out a sword and hit him to wake him up. I'm here to get you free. Get up. How was he sleeping? Because he had learned from his storm. He's got it. If I go to heaven, I go. If I stay, I stay. But the Lord has me in this prison, and I'm going to trust him right here because he is in charge. Because he had learned. He'd gone up a level. Stand up with me, would you? Amen. Now, let me just give you a little bit of good news. What your storm is putting in you right now is arming you for what's coming towards you later. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, you're going to be loaded for bear, as we would say in East Texas. You're going to know how to handle it because you're learning right now in this storm what you're going to need for your challenges down the road. Now you've dealt with a few devils. Down the road, you're going to be instrumental in bringing down some giants because you're learning. David killed his lion and his bear, and the lion and the bear he killed in private armed him to kill Goliath in public. You're always moving up and onward and upward. when you're following Jesus. So your storm is teaching you right now. Amen? So say with me, storms reveal my weaknesses. Every storm has a message. And storms prepare me for my next level. Amen. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? As a matter of fact, if you're in a storm right now, you need the grace of God, the mercy of God, I want you to come down right now. I want to pray a touch on you right now. The grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find the grace to help us in the hour of need. Come down. We're going to go to the throne of grace and we're going to believe for grace and mercy. Come down now. If you're in the middle of a storm and you need strength and you need grace, we're going to believe God to touch you right here in this altar. We're learning to lean. We're learning to draw from His strength. We're learning to walk with Him. We're learning that He is sufficient. We're learning that for each day we must have His power. We're learning to say with Paul, who is sufficient for these things? Not me, but He is in me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're making a shift between leaning on ourselves and learning to lean on Him. Because we can only take us so far and then it stops. But He can take us all the way to the other side. Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands to Him right now? Oh, Jesus, we need You. We are so dependent on You. Lord, we need Your strength. We need Your inner power. We need the inner strength of the Holy Spirit. We need, Lord, the teaching word of Christ. We need the message in the storm. We need what You're saying to us, Lord, what You're wanting us to learn, what You're teaching us, what You're saying to us. Lord, we're asking You to guide and lead and direct so that we don't go through a storm to no avail for no good reason. But in the storm and coming through the storm, we come out stronger, more mature, greater in faith, strong in grace. Lord, we thank You for it. I sense Him right here in this altar now. Lift your hands and say, Lord, You're my sufficiency. I'll never get to the other side apart from You. But with You, in You, through You, I will arrive. Jesus, I receive the grace and the mercy and the enabling of God. Now I want you to take a minute. Here's what's happening. He's speaking to some of your hearts. So here's my message. Here's what I want you to learn. Here's what I want you to focus on. Here's what I want you to practice. There's just a holy hush here right now. Even those of you in the sanctuary, can we lift holy hands to the Lord? He's moving here. You said, Lord, I can't go any further. Yes, You can. Lord, I can't take another step. Yes, You can. Lord, I got no strength left. Yes, You do. It's His strength. And He's going to take over where your strength dropped off. They that wait upon the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like an eagle, and they're going to run and not be weary, and they're going to walk and not faint, even though the young people faint in the way. Not you, because He's your strength. He's your power. He's your enabler. You're going to get to the other side with strength to spare. like Elijah who ran 40 days on one meal. You're going to run on that meal of God's word and God's peace and God's strength. And it's preparing you for your next level. Everybody down here, look at me for a minute. Now I just want to speak this word to you. Watch this. Somebody's waiting on the other side for you to arrive. You know how I know that? Because that poor demon-possessed man, he didn't know it, but he was on the other side waiting for Jesus and the disciples to arrive. Right? So he doesn't just carry us through a really tough time, a storm, for us, but he's always got somebody else in mind. And that demon-possessed man had no idea. When he saw the boat getting closer, here came his deliverance. Here came his answer. Here came a change in his life. Somebody is waiting on the other side of your journey and your storm. And you're going to have the wherewithal to help set them free because of what he's done in you. Yeah, I know it's true. I know it's true. So I want you to keep that in mind. So, well, I just want it for me. Well, he'll do it for you, but it's not just for you. Now, there's going to be somebody who's going to say, you went through a storm. I'm in a storm. Well, let me tell you how to go through it because I just went through it. Amen. Those of you that are in a marital storm, you can come on the other side. You're going to be able to take the hand of somebody going through a marital storm. Say, here's how I got through it. Storm of temptation, battling addictions, a storm. But you're going to have the wherewithal to help somebody else get free. That's what happened. They went through their storm, and that man got set free. And he went and preached to 10 cities. He went to the entire Decapolis and took the gospel message of Christ to 10 cities. So they were waiting on the other side of his storm. Amen. Amen. How many of you are glad you came to the house of God today? Amen. 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 Amen.